what's happening on the big screen and the small. What to Watch with CJ Johnson.
Yes, movies and TV with CJ. He joins us this evening. CJ, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Evening. Thank you very, very much, Philip.
All right, now, a couple of movies here. We've got a new Aussie film called I Used to Be Normal. And how about this? A cinema-released documentary called Spitfire. Guess what this is about?
This is about the Spitfire aeroplane. Mm. And now that I've seen this documentary, I know far more about the Spitfire aeroplane than I ever did before. It's interesting because I suppose there are people out there who love machines and love vehicles and or are very interested, obviously, in the World Wars. So inherently, there will be an audience for this documentary. And as such, it will certainly do well by those people. But I guess the measure of a documentary like this also can be looked at if you don't particularly have an interest in that subject, how engaged you are. And so you've got to see how it works on that level as well. Mm. So this is obviously about the Spitfire aeroplane, which I now know was essentially considered, and certainly by those people who love the Spitfire aeroplane, as a turning point invention in World War II, that really people who credit this plane, then the development and construction and flying of this plane as the plane that saved Britain, the plane that won the war, essentially.
Well, it was at the time, in most situations, the best fighter.
Yeah.
It was faster.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's all sorts of things about its construction and development and use. I mean, so this is a film about people who love the Spitfire and the surviving Spitfires and also the history of the Spitfire. So essentially you've got the interview subjects are people that are passionate about the Spitfire, and obviously, everyone in the film is British, mm-hmm. and the people who love the Spitfire, who are still alive, are charming and erudite and very, very, very British, and by nature, a little bit quirky. So one of the things the film does beautifully is it respects these people, mm-hmm. you know, because if these people had a passion about, for example, a small breed of dog, it might be quite easy for them to seem over the top or ridiculous. But their passion, which is very, very passionate, is for a machine. But this film treats them respectfully. So even though there's gentle humor in seeing these people who love this outdated, as it were, machine, they are always treated with absolute reverence.
Most people associated with the aeroplane are dead now, though, aren't they? Surely.
Yeah, but there's all these young people who love it.
Okay.
You know, so there's interviews with people who are in their 30s or 40s who love it.
And there are a number of aeroplanes that are still flying, of course, aren't there?
Yeah, there aren't many. There aren't many extant flying ones.
Flyable ones.
But all the ones that still exist, they get up in the air. So part of the reason this film is being released in cinemas is they get them all up there and they film them flying around Britain. And to watch these machines flying in tandem, like 8 of them across, flying past the White Cliffs of Dover on the big screen, it's really, I get a goosebumps just saying it, because it's beautiful to watch. There is beautiful music. It's gorgeous aerial photography. And these machines look gorgeous flying along, and you can't imagine what the war was like, but you can see this sort of struggle between the beauty of those cliffs and the fact that they were, you know, being defended by these machines. So you have people like young men in the current RAF who are in charge of looking after these machines and mm-hmm. who love these machines and who lovingly talk about these machines, and people who talk about these machines as the single greatest love of their life. You know what I mean? They really love the Spitfire. And then you've got people who were around at the time, who are still alive, and you've got people who are related to people who... So you've got descendants of people who really were involved with the Spitfire's creation, its development, its design, and also its flying. And then 36 minutes in, for the first time, you hear from a female plotter of the artillery brigade. And then later on, you find out that female pilots also flew the Spitfires to their designated takeoff points before they actually went into war.
Really?
Yes. So you get this whole new gender thing. And when that is revealed, that is like opening a secret book that I've never read before.
No, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really cool too.
All right. Spitfire. It's released nationally. It's in a cinema release documentary. If you're keen about the Spitty or any notion of its history, then have a look.
Or if you're just an Anglophile. This is a very British film.
I imagine.
Yeah.
All right, there's a new Aussie cinema release movie out, I Used to Be Normal. What's this about?
Yeah, this tracks four different women
Hang on, just before we go, by the way, yeah. I've got a little bit from the Spitfire.
Oh, yeah, play it.
Doco.
There was this bang. I suddenly realised there was a 109 right behind me. He had his goggles down and I could see his head. Oh, yeah, he was close. He was real close. And I looked up and I could see him looking at me. You know, the hard way. Once you saw flames, you didn't stop on board an aircraft. It could easily just blow like that. And it wouldn't give you a chance to get out. Release that pin and out you came like a cork out of a bottle.
Terrifying.
Not too many people speak like that anymore. You know, it's beautiful to hear these voices. At one point, someone says, you know, well, the Hun was coming. It's great.
Yeah. Anyway, I Used to Be Normal. This is an Aussie movie.
It's an Aussie movie. It's shot in three or four different countries. It follows four different women from all around the world who all have been and are still obsessed with four different boy bands. So a woman who's obsessed with Take That, a woman who's obsessed with the Beatles, and so on and so forth. And I guess, like, you know, Spitfire is about people who are obsessed with the Spitfire airplane. This is about women who are obsessed with boy bands. Mm-hmm. And it looks back over the course of their entire histories with boy bands and why they were obsessed with boy bands and how this obsession with boy bands has impacted their life and helped them through difficult times and everything. I guess on paper, this sounded like an interesting idea, maybe.
Sort of.
Yeah. Sort of.
But it's a bit dull, is it?
It's dull. It's a little bit over 90 minutes. And the fact is either they needed double the interview subjects or the film should have been 45 minutes long because it drags on. And frankly, I don't understand how this really got funded and why it's getting a cinema release, unfortunately.
Yeah. I can imagine a TV show, maybe.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. This does not feel like a cinema release documentary, unlike Spitfire.
All right. And now, Homecoming. A 10-part, this is television, of course, Homecoming. It's a 10-part US drama series. It's on Amazon Prime.
Yes. So Amazon Prime is now freely available in the Australian marketplace. Mm-hmm. Amazon is here and so is Amazon Prime. So I gather if you're an Amazon Prime customer, you get deals on shipping or you get the faster service or whatever, but you also get access to these videos. And so they, like Netflix, are starting to plow their enormous worldwide resources into producing their own content. So I don't know if this is their first big swing or whether there have been a few, but this is a big swing because this has Julia Roberts. So this is taking, you know, someone who has been one of the most profitable movie stars in the history of the medium of cinema and putting her on television for the first time. Yeah. And the result is really, really good. As an overview, it is an American conspiracy thriller. And it is very, very much highly deliberately influenced by American paranoid conspiracy thriller cinema of the 1970s, such as The Parallax View and Capricorn One and The Conversation. And it uses all the tropes of those films. It uses, you know, zooms and the particular framing styles and the particular type of music those films used, even the fonts. You know, it really evokes a particular style of cinema. But it is set now. In fact, it's set in two time frames. It's set in 2018 and 2020. Julia Roberts plays a counselor at a program, which is a government contracted program. So it's not part of the US government, but it's a contractor that's called Homecoming. And she's a counselor who, as part of this program, aids young veterans returning to America from the Middle East in their transition back to civilian life. But as all good conspiracy thrillers are about, something is nefarious about this program and, you know, the course of her and you as the viewer is discovering what is nefarious. So playing the sort of very embodiment of the nefariousness is an American actor named Bobby Cannavale, who's a fantastic actor at playing villains, and he really gets to do a lot in this. The thing about this show that makes it fascinating on a few levels is, besides the fact that it is so stylistically heavy and it's beautiful to look at, the camera work and the sound design and the score are gorgeous and very evocative of such cinema as I was talking about before, is that it's a half hour drama. So not an hour, it's a half hour, which means these days that it can be anywhere from about 24 minutes to 30 minutes an episode. So for a drama, that feels really fresh because you're getting it much more condensed. Two, it's based on a podcast. It's based on a dramatic podcast. So as such, it's got a slightly different tempo and feel and pacing, especially when combined with the half hour format. And three, it's directed entirely, all episodes, by a guy named Sam Esmail, who created a show which is also sort of political conspiracy paranoid thriller called Mr. Robot. And he's got a very unique directorial style. So all that combined with Julia Roberts, and you've got a really, really good show. Like, I binged this thing. I watched it in a row. It's 5 hours in total, and I probably watched it in about eight, you know, with a few breaks. It's very good.
All right, Homecoming. So stars, Spitfire, the Spitfire doco?
Let's give it 3.5.
Yeah, how could it be bad?
It's totally entertaining from start to finish. Yeah, that's true. Exactly. As a documentary about Spitfires, it's perfect.
I can't think actually of another aeroplane in that way that people think about.
I tell you what,
like that.
I recently watched a two-part television documentary.
Maybe the Tiger Moth or something.
Oh, well, I watched a two-part documentary about the Concorde, and that was very, very engaging because the design of that plane and then how it got used and then how it – that was interesting.
Yeah. That's true. Maybe a DC-3. There's a
Let's give all the planes a documentary and see which ones are most entertaining.
If anybody's listening, come on, a doco about the DC-3, that would be huge.
Really?
The plane of the Second World War. And afterwards. All right. And I used to be normal, the Aussie movie?
It could only give it two, I'm afraid.
Okay. Right. And Homecoming is definitely worth watching.
Absolutely.
Streaming. So it's on Amazon Prime, by the way. So you've got access to that. Have a look.
Mm. And all of these programs, like in the course of talking about these television shows, things like Amazon Prime, Netflix, whatever, if you don't subscribe to them yet, all of them inevitably offer 1 month free trials. So you can't lose.
No, just dip in and have a look.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. Terrific, CJ.
Thanks.
CJ Johnson at the movies.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.